Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for your presence being here even tonight, Lord, on this Thursday evening, Lord. Thank you for your word that will go forth tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would use me to minister encouragement to the people tonight, Lord. And Lord, that your word would just cause us, our minds to be renewed and cause us to rise up to another level in you, another level in our relationship with you, another level in our commitment to you, another level in our service unto the body of Christ, Lord, another level in every area of our lives. As a result of us taking hold of the word of God and allowing that to take root on the inside of us, Lord, we thank you for results, spiritual results taking place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for coming on out tonight to our real life Bible study. And praise God. I want to share a message tonight. This is actually a message that my father wrote many years ago. And it just really ministered to me as I was meditating on it. And I wanted to share it with y'all tonight. All right. The name of the message is Let Us Draw Near. Let us draw near. How many of you want to get closer to God? Amen. I desire to get closer to God. Amen. You know, I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God he saved me. He's healed me. He's done marvelous things in our lives, right? But I do realize that where I am now is a place where I have not arrived yet. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that there is some more that God has for me to go. Amen. He wants to take you higher, right? He wants to take you deeper. And so tonight we're talking about drawing near to God, because I believe if we're going to go deeper, if we're going to go higher in the Lord, if we're going to receive more anointing in our lives from the Lord, then we must draw near to him. We must get close to him. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 22. Actually, it would be that single verse, verse 22. It says, in Hebrews 10, verse 22, it says, therefore, let us draw near. Let us, believers in Christ, the body of Christ, let us draw near with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us, since our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. In the times that we are living on planet Earth, we must believe that God's word is true. We must believe that his word is true. And not only is it true, but we must believe that it is effective in our lives today. Yes. Not just in the days of old, in the years of old, not just back in the day, but now his word is effective. His word is current. His word is right. We must believe that now in this day and age. We need God. We need his word. He has something to say about this present age, about this time right now. The power of God can be effective in our lives today. Amen? We must allow his word to get down deep into our conscience, down to the very core of what we believe. We must let this truth really sink in until it affects our behavior. It's not enough for me to just say I love Jesus, right? There's people in the world who will say they love Jesus, and they'll say they love God. You probably heard, you go to church, oh, I love God, you know? People say that all the time. But a lot of times, if you watch them long enough, and even some folks we see long enough, and then we can tell for real if they love God or not, right? Can't we? Right? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Right? So maybe we care a lot about God. We like the idea about God, but maybe we haven't really developed a true relationship with God and developed a true, sincere heart and a love for His Word. Right? The scripture said, let us draw near. In other words, it suggests a closeness, a close relationship. I don't know about you, but I want to be close with God. I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. Now, He already knows everything about me, right? But I don't want it to be one-sided. I want to know Him, too. Amen? I want to know Him. So, there is a message from God that we all need to heed and obey. That message is to get close to God and to get as close to God as possible in this day and age. In this day and age, we cannot afford to get farther from God. To get farther from God, to get in His Word less, to pray less, to associate in fellowship with other believers less, right? We can't afford to do that in this day and age. But you know what? That's what we see more and more in this day and age. We see more and more believers not coming together, forsaking the assembly of the brothers and the saints. And so, in our culture, in our day and age, and it's affecting the churches, people are starting to say, hey, you know what, we'll just go one time to service this month. We'll just go to church once this month. Or you know, it's optional, you know. You want to go to church? I don't know. We'll see, you know. And it's gotten to where people, instead of drawing near to God, they're moving further away from God. He says, therefore, let's draw near to God with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us. Our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. See, contrary to what the world says, there are not a variety of ways to approach and come close to God. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that way is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith in His blood. By faith in His blood. Now tonight, let's examine this Bible text that I just read in Hebrews. We'll examine that text in the light of other scriptures to help us in drawing near to God. Now, I asked the question earlier, how many of you want to draw near to God? Yeah. Draw closer to God. All right, so we all on the same page, because I do too. I want to draw closer to God. How about you? You want to draw closer to God? Yes. Amen. So let's get up close and personal tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, finally, let's pray, draw near to the throne of favor, confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace when we need help. So, what is this telling me as a believer in Christ? If I need help from God, I need to get close to Him. If I really need help from God, sincerely, I need to get close to Him. See, it said, at the throne of favor. See, we need to get close to God. We need to get at His throne. Get close to His throne. See, what's at the throne of favor? Well, favor's there. Favor's there. What is favor? Favor is an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. It's showing approval. What is mercy? I seen it. It said mercy is there too. What is mercy? Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy is there when we draw near to the throne. When we draw near to Him, mercy is there. Thank you, Jesus. What else is there? Grace is there. Grace is there. What is grace? Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowed of blessings. See, his grace is there. He blesses us just by being in proximity with God, being close to him. Blessings just spill over in our lives. Not only that, but it allows us to be able to be a blessing to other people because we've spent time with God. You know, I thought about that one day. I thought about, you know what? Other people are going to get blessed just because I've been with God. And I don't want to say that to sound, you know, some kind of way or sound arrogant. It's not about me. It's about him, how amazing he is. Just to be in proximity with him. And you understand what I'm saying. I mean, we're not there in heaven with him physically, right? We're seated with him in heavenly places, right? But understanding, I'm talking about relationship. And being in relationship with God. Talking to God. Praying and speaking to him. And listening to him. Reading his word. As you are drawing near to him, there's a certain amount of grace, certain amount of mercy and favor that comes upon your life. And it actually ends up, if you allow it to, it ends up blessing, wrenching other people's lives. Wow. Amen. That's encouraging to me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw near unto God." Again, we're drawing near to God. James 4 and 8. God, and he will come to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. What does it mean to be double-minded? Yeah, wishy-washy. That's a good one. Wow, that's good. That's good. I love that. Want to have your cake and eat it too. Wow, that's good. Yeah, so be hypocritical with that. Yeah, excellent. Anybody else? Saying one thing and doing another. Wow. Being one thing in one place and a whole other thing in another place, right? Double-minded. He said, come near to God. Draw near to God, and he will come near to you. I love this because, you know, I find that when I get closer to God, I understand myself better. I find my true identity when I get closer to him. Right? I find that when people like that and they're just kind of all over the place, unstable, they're trying to figure out who they are. They don't understand their place in the world. They're trying to do something and trying to be a certain way in a certain setting, and then in another setting, they're trying to be another way, right? What is double-minded, to be double-minded? It's someone who is constantly wavering in their mind. They're unstable. Unstable. The Bible says unstable in all their ways. They're marked by hypocrisy. Someone said that earlier. And lack of sincerity. Lack of sincerity. See, once we have washed our hands and we come clean and repent, then we're able to sincerely go before the throne of grace. See, God wants us to come clean. I know I'm talking to believers tonight, but that's okay. We need to be talked to about this. It needs to be tight and right, right? We all need this, right? There are times in my life when I realize, hey, you know what? There's some slack in my line. I need to draw closer to God here, right? And we all have those times in our lives. Long as we're on this earth, there's going to be that opportunity, that chance where we're going to have to tighten up the rope a little bit, tighten the slack a little bit, and get closer to God. That's why it's in the scripture for us. Draw near. Draw near to God. And I thank God for his grace. Remember, at the throne is his grace, right? See, if we miss the mark as believers and we sin, we mess up, it will hinder our ability to approach God. So we must cleanse ourselves from the spiritual contamination through confessing our sins to God as believers in Christ and turn from the wrongdoing. That's the key. We need to fess up where we mess up, and then, right, and we need to sincerely repent, and then we need to turn from it. That's the complete circle, right? That's the complete turnaround. I guess, I've heard somebody say it's not a 360, it's a 180, right? Because you're not going to turn around and go right back to where you were, right? I'm making a turn and I'm going the other direction, right? I'm running from temptation. I'm running from any and everything that's going to hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to purpose in our heart. That's what drawing near to God really means. That's what it really means. That's what we're signing up for when we say, yes, I want to draw near to God. Yes, I want a deeper relationship with God. We're saying, yes, I'm making a conscious decision, a conscious choice to turn away from sin, turn away from any and everything that is leading me down the wrong path, all right? Amen. So it is possible to approach the throne of God. Once we do that, once we repent, we can approach the throne of God with boldness, with boldness. Say, thank you, Lord, for making me righteous. Thank you that I am your child. And we approach the throne of God with boldness on the basis of the blood of Jesus, who covers our sin, who washes our sin. Thank you, Lord. See, the blood of Jesus established for us a better hope or a new covenant with the Father in Christ Jesus. By this new covenant, we can approach the presence of God without condemnation or fear. So it's not because we're something. It's not, for us to be puffed up and say, okay, I got it. I've arrived. No, it's because of the covering of his blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so as I stand before him, he sees me, but what he sees first is the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's covering me, that's washed me. Thank you, Lord. Woo, man, I'm telling you what. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washed my sins away. See, we have to believe that, saints. We have to believe that. See, one of the things that I see in Christendom, that I see in the body of Christ, I see a lot of believers now, they're walking around and they get the idea, okay, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to act different, I'm supposed to say different stuff and hang around with different people that also say that they're saved. But they're still kind of dragging and holding on to this, for lack of better terms, like this sin consciousness. And still holding on to this past life. And I get it, we're supposed to, in a certain way, package that up in a way that we can share as our story and share our testimony. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need to forget so much that we're not able to relate and share our testimony with other people. But let that be a testimony, not only of what you did, but how you got changed and set free and how you are now, how you are today. Right? Not all, I used to do this, but, every now and then I still reminisce about what I used to do, We just kind of hold on to stuff. Like, no, man, I'm free from that stuff. He changed me. He changed me. I'm set free. I'm no longer bound. Here's the before, and now here's the after. Right? I'm free. Thank you, Lord. And you can be free too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Another scripture here is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And I won't be before you long tonight. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we live in the light in the same way as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. So, man, how do we have fellowship with God? Reading the word, praying. I heard those. What else?
Doing the word.
Yes, doing the word. What did we just read in that first section of? What was that?
Walk in the
light. Yes. Walk in the light. Live in the light. We see those two words being synonymous a lot of times in Scripture. Walking, living in the word. In other words, our lifestyle, I believe that's what it's really referring to, is our lifestyle. We need to live our lifestyle in a way that's pleasing to God, living in the light. Jesus is the light, amen? And so our lifestyle, we want to have fellowship with God, then we must live in the light. We must live for God, amen? Amen? I mean, to have true, real fellowship with God. I mean, I'm sitting, you know, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. You can go anywhere and blend in and fit in and say, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian and yeah, I go to church and just fit into that culture and just, you know, just go with, you know, just be comfortable. But you can do that and be in just as much darkness as you were before you got saved if you're not walking in the light. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of people right now who are, you know, their conscience, they feel good about things right now because they've gotten somewhere and they, you know, the appearance is that they're okay. But they're not really walking in the light. There are people that go to this church now. This word-preaching church where the word is going forth every single week. And if they're not in the light, I know they're getting hit over the head every time I preach or every time we have someone minister the word, because it's the light going forth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth. And most people cannot hang around that long if they're in darkness and the word is being preached to them constantly, consistently. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when we are not in the light, then what we are doing is walking in darkness. And guess what? There's no fellowship. There's no fellowship. It hinders fellowship. And so what typically happens when someone is maybe fellowshipping with a good godly church, a good church, and that's weird to even say that, a good godly church. Every church should be a good godly church, right? But you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, they get in fellowship with a good church. Oh, somebody calling. Somebody, they ain't being led. So they get involved into a good local church. And they're fellowshipping, but then maybe after a couple weeks, you know, maybe a couple weeks, they're not coming around as much, right? Right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you only once, you know, once a month. And then before you know it, you don't even see them anymore, right? Now, every situation is different. I know people, you know, there's different circumstances. But I just know better. And I've just been around and seen a lot of stuff. And a lot of times, those people, those individuals, they have little by little began to drift away by making the soft choices. And all it takes is just the soft choices, and then one choice leads to another choice, And then what's happening is you're slipping out of the light, and into the gray area, and you're starting to get over into darkness. And what it's doing is hindering fellowship. And so it's a little, it's not, you're not as comfortable to hang out with the believers anymore because you got this sin consciousness going on. I'm not talking to anybody in here, right? But it's the truth. It happens all the time. And so, you need some help there. All right. What we're doing, everybody, just so everybody knows, we're doing a Facebook Live. And so you guys aren't on there, it's just me. But we're actually streaming live on our church Facebook page. Hey, everybody, God bless you. And so that's what we're doing. So, but praise God. So what ends up happening is they start to drift, to drift away. And I've seen it time and time again, you know. And then you'll have some cases where an individual, they'll wake up from themselves and say, man, how did I get here, you know? And, you know, I just say, hey, I love you, brother. You know, we love you, you know. Man, come back to the Lord. That's the most important thing, getting right back with God, you know. You know, and if you don't come back here, come back to this. Get connected with a good local church. Get somewhere where you can get fed. What are we talking about? We're talking about drawing near to God. We're talking about them getting close to God. Because when they're close to Him, that's where the fire is. That's where the light is. That's where the passion, that's where you begin to have a desire and a passion to love God and to serve God and to be around His people. See, when I'm walking in the light, I love hanging with God's people. It's fun. I have fun with God's people. But if I'm not walking in the light and I'm dibbling and dabbling and doing the wrong thing, then guess what? I'm not trying to hang around you. You talking about Jesus and stuff and messing with, you know. Nah. You know, so that's what happened. Right, so it's important. It's important that we encourage other believers, encourage them to continue to stay with God and stay close, stay within the family of God, within the fellowship of God. Amen. So I didn't finish the verse here. It says in verse 7, but if we live in the light in the same way as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we claim we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins, thank you. If we confess our sins, Christian bar of soap, right? We're talking about cleansing. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful, just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong, all of our unrighteousness, cleanse of it. He's faithful and just. We can rely on Him. We can count on Him that He will do that if we sincerely confess our sins to God. But there's a condition here, because in 10 it says, if we claim we have never sinned. In other words, if we don't come clean, if we don't fess up all the way, you know, it's like as a parent when you're dealing with your kids, you know, when you're trying to get the truth out of them, it's like you got to get it in layers, right? You know, you kind of get, well, maybe, did you do that? I don't know. Well, which one is it? Right? You got to keep peeling back the layers, right? They're not coming all the way clean. Like, it takes a while sometimes, right? It took a while for me. I know when I was coming up, they had to deal with me. Anyway, well, just bypass all that and just come clean and just say, Lord, I lay it all out. This is, He knows what's going on. But He's looking for a repentant heart. And it says that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong. But we must come clean. We must swallow our pride and lay down everything that is hindering our relationship with God and his people. If we really want to have a genuine relationship with God, if we really want to have a genuine relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we got to come clean. Amen? Hallelujah. I may be preaching to you. I may be not. You may be good to go, but I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear this. I'm glad we're recording it, right? Because somebody needs to hear that. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus, not some watered down, oh, it's okay, grace covers it, you're all right, don't worry about it, you know, nobody has to know. No, yeah, you need to confess that to Jesus and get that right with him so that you can really walk in the fullness of God and none of this fake stuff. Like, there are a lot of people who I'll just put it this way. There are a lot of leaders who have blood on their hands because of the false doctrine and the truths and all the misrepresentation and the messed up preaching that's been going forth. And people have been getting watered down sermons and watered down truth instead of the full truth. That yes, that God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for the sins of this world. And in order for you to know me, God, you must accept Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins and you must walk in the light. People need to hear that truth. In this day and age, in 2019, they need to know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They need to know that. They need to know that there is good and there is evil. They need to know that there is right and there is wrong. There is no just whatever. There is, you know, that's my truth. That's just my truth. No, there is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And he is the way, and he is the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through Jesus Christ. People need to hear that. They need to hear the truth. So let them say, oh, no, I don't believe it. Let them do all of that. We need to keep preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that, but we believe with the heart. Amen. We believe with the heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The only way to draw near to God in reality is by believing with the heart in the merit of the blood of Jesus. See, what do we believe about the blood of Jesus? Yeah. Yes. It cleanses us. Amen. What else does it do? The blood of Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sanctifies us, it sets us apart. It heals us. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, overcomes. Thank you, sir. Yes, absolutely. The blood of Jesus does all of that. It redeems us, doesn't it? It reconciles us. Thank you, Lord. We're in covenant because of his blood. His blood was shed. It was a covenant. It was a covenant. I want to say deal, but that's shallow. It was a straight up covenant with God's stamp on it. His word, the blood of Jesus was writing on this. So we are in covenant with God through faith in Jesus' blood. It's guaranteed. As a matter of fact, He sent us his guarantee, and that's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It bears witness with our spirits and let us know that, hey, yeah, I belong to him. I'm in covenant with him. He loves me so much that he sent me a helper to guide me and direct me and comfort me and teach me and all of that. And man, I'm excited. I'm up here. So the blood of Jesus is all that. We are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. We are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. See, we need to meditate on that. That's a part of us drawing, understanding where we reside and how we fit in. How, you know, understanding where we stand with God. We're children of God, and we are in covenant with God. See, when the enemy comes at you and whispers a lie in your ear, or when the doctor comes in and gives you some kind of bad report, like, you need to have on the inside of you, remember I talked about rooted deep on the inside of you, the word of God, you need to have on the inside of you that, hey, you know what? I'm in covenant with God. Yes. This does covenant with God. This is poverty. It doesn't belong to me. I'm in covenant. I made a covenant with God. He made a covenant with me. He gave me his promise. He gave me his word. This doesn't belong to me. So even though the circumstance is what it is, it doesn't have to be that way forever. As a matter of fact, it's got to change. It's got to change. Now, we have to stand on his word. We have to do our part as well. And a covenant is a covenant, right? He's going to keep his end of the bargain. But guess what? We got to keep ours too, right? Hey, amen. I told you I wasn't going to be long. You know, preachers always do that. They say, I'm about to close. All right, if I give you a couple more scriptures, and then, all right. Thank you, Lord. So conscience, our conscience, that's what I want to talk about. Our conscience is the voice of the born-again human spirit. See, he speaks to us through our conscience. I'm reminded of that song, He Walks With Me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his, right? That I'm his own. You know, and it's like, he's with me. He speaks to me, and he speaks to me through my conscience. That's why in that scripture in Hebrews, it talked about us drawing near to him, and then he actually washes our conscience. Yes. You remember that?
Yes.
He actually, let's go back to that real quick. It said, therefore, Hebrews 10, 22, it says, therefore, let's draw near with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us, since our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Right? What's he doing? He cleanses our conscience, and now we're able to stand right before God, and now he's able to use that very conscience that he cleansed, he's able to speak to us. And we hear him in our conscience. That's why it's so important to not get off, right? And start to get into involved with sin, because it violates our conscience. And so again, like, people, they say, well, I'm not getting fed. You know, I'm not growing. I'm not hearing God and all this. Okay, well, what are you meditating on? Because it's not him that's the problem. He's on the right frequency. He's dialed in all the time. So it's something on the receiving end that's not right. And a lot of times we're not dialed in to the right. Our conscience is, we're double-minded. And we're focused on all these other things that are causing us to waver. Salah. So, again, it's having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, when we are born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, our hearts, our spirits are cleansed from a sin consciousness. All of our sin is put away by the sacrifice of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, I thank you that I can come before you with a clear conscience and speak your word and expect for you to perform that word in my life. Man, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. 2 Corinthians, did I read that? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yep. So another one is Romans 10:9. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in this lesson tonight, we found that the only way to draw near to God is through faith in the blood of Jesus. And we saw the believer in Christ. We now conclude by acting upon what we have heard tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Drawing near to God. So I encourage you tonight to make a conscious choice, if you haven't already done that, make a conscious choice to continue to draw near to God.
Amen.
Draw close to God, right? Keep walking in the light. Keep reading his word, confessing his word, keep doing his word. Continue to do that. Don't let. And the thing is, when you find yourself not wanting to get around God's people, let that be a red flag.
True.
Why am I feeling like that? Uh-oh. Hey, check yourself, right? Right? Check up on each other. Check up on each other. You see your sister, your brother is not hanging around as much, and you know, you haven't heard. Man, I haven't heard. They always, you know, every Tuesday they send me a, you know, text, you know, what you doing? They're not doing that. What's going on? All right, check up on each other. Not because we want to be nosy and in each other's business, because we care about one another, right? I want you to check up on me. Call me, text me. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Let's go fishing, Brother Warren. Let's go, you know, let's go do something. Let's get together, right? That's healthy to be around other believers. Amen. Real believers that will hold each other accountable. Right? Yeah, yes, sir.
And you can't fake
this. No.
There's no good enough here. It's all the way around.
Yes, sir.
It's,
yeah.
Like it's the whole time. It's got to be true. Yeah. Like it's Psalm 145. He says that he is nigh unto us who call upon him.
Yeah.
The
yeah. Yes.
So that's it. That is, he's not close to us.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yes.
And, you know, like you were saying about drawing near to him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's a whole lot easier for you to shake your hand when you're close to him.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. And absolutely.
Same thing with God.
Yeah.
Man, I thank you here with God. This is good.
Wow. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I got him.
Praise God.
Well, I got it from a great man of God. And, my father, he put these notes together, man, and I'm just sharing them, and it's the same word. it'll preach, right? I thank God for, you know, last Sunday I was using an illustration about God being close to you, and how, you know, people might ask the question, well, why, you know, why does God whisper? Why is it, you know, because we looked at Elijah and looked at how, you know, he wasn't in the wind and he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in all that stuff, but he was in the whisper. He was whispering to Elijah. And, you know, why does God whisper? And it's because he doesn't have to yell because he's right next to you, right? Why would anybody next to you have to scream? That would be kind of weird, right? So he's right there. He's close. If we allow him to, we have to draw near to him. We got to draw close to him. But, you know, he said he'll never leave you, never forsake you. Yeah, praise God. Well, let's pray and then we'll get ready to transition. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that your word is true. Your word is right. And Lord, we just appreciate you. We thank you. And, the word talks about us giving thanksgiving. And with the fruit of our lips, we give you praise. And so, Lord, we do that on tonight. Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, with sincerity of heart, we want to declare that we love you. We're thankful for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive from you. Thank you that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us when we have just straight up messed up, when we've just totally just gotten off track. You're faithful. You're just. You're right. And yet you still give us mercy to forgive us. Thank you, Lord. You're so real, and you're so real with us. Lord, I want to be real with you. I want to be real with your people. I want genuine fellowship with you. I want genuine fellowship with your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for causing us to be successful in the kingdom of God. Thank you for causing us as believers in Christ to be effective in this life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah.